truth, for the Spirit does not speak on its own, but it speaks whatever it hears, and it will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit will glorify me because it will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said to you that the Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord. It seems like everyone's off enjoying the May long snow. I'm hoping it doesn't kill the lettuce I planted in my garden. If there are any young people in the house, Renata Erickson is here, and she has a special word for you. The word this morning, is there anybody? Because I won't go on if there isn't anybody. Maybe I'll go on. There are a couple people who may be lured into it. She has a special book called God Created, and then a Bible story called Praise God. So this is a really beautiful book this morning about all the things that God created, beautiful paintings in there. And they're going to learn all about Psalm 8 and learning to praise God. It seems the more I talk, the more people go, so. Parents, this is a good book for you to see. They'll come back with a sheet. You should know this one. It's a really beautiful book. When I was in my late teens, I think everybody in the house knows this, but maybe not, but when I was in my late teens, I was studying to be an engineer, and I was afforded the opportunity to have an apprenticeship with the city of Los Angeles. I worked for the Department of Water and Power, and it so happened that during that time, the city of Los Angeles was building a gigantic power plant. They were in partnership with some other utilities. We were building this huge power plant in the middle of nowhere in the Utah desert. And it just so happened that they needed an intern. That power plant, by the way, was capable of producing 25% of the power needed to power the city of Los Angeles. So this was a monstrous thing. And they needed an intern. And I was asked to go an intern because they needed some help with their database. And so I had never been on a construction site like that with a big power plant. So I immediately said yes and packed my bags and off I went, leaving the California coast for the Utah desert. And I was picturing this really illustrious job, like it was a call to something high and mighty. But when I got there to the engineering office, it was this tiny little space, maybe 15 feet by 15 feet, and everybody on the project management team was crammed into that space. There were, I think, 5 or 6 full-time engineers, and then there was me, and like every conversation was heard by everyone, and there was paper flying all over the place all the time. It turned out that they were managing something like 1,100 contractors on the site at any given point in time. Like it was a big thing, and here I was. And my supervisor came over to me with this blueprint, put it on the desk, and said, and by the way, it looked like a spider's web to me. I didn't know what I was looking at, because I was studying to be an electrical engineer, and this was a mechanical drawing. I know nothing about that. And he leans over the back of me, and he says, "You see this little symbol?" And I said, "Yep." And he said, "That's a symbol for a butterfly valve. And what I need you to do is highlight all the butterfly valves on this drawing and write down all of their numbers and put their location and their number in this database." It was an Excel spreadsheet. Put it in this database. So it took me like 4 hours to do that drawing, and I got all done. And he goes, "Great, now come with me." And I got up and went to the blueprint room, and there was a stack of blueprints like this. And he said, "That's your job." So all summer long, that's what I did, just with my nose to this paper. It was the most boring, awful job I've ever had in my life. Except that there were some other guys coming in and out of the office, and they could see that this wasn't a good way for a 19-year-old girl to spend her time, and they said, "Have you ever seen a butterfly valve?" "Only these ones on the blueprints." "Well, come with me." And this guy took me out onto the site, and if you could imagine, it was a 10 or 12 story steel superstructures but not the height of a 12-story building, but three times as high, because a story was like 30 feet. And he took me up the stairs, like the thing wasn't complete. And so he took me up these metal stairs, and it was like, is there anybody in the room who's afraid of heights? Yeah, it's one of those kind of adventures, because if you look down, like you could see through the steel grating all the way to the ground, right? And so he takes me to this area of this thing and like shows me this thing. I don't remember what it looked like. Show me this butterfly valve, right? And then he said, and you know what else? We have the opportunity to do something not many people get to do in their lifetime. Let's go to the coal hoppers. And he took me to the coal handling part of the plant, and we walked in the area where the coal would be delivered from train, would come down these chutes and onto this conveyor belt and then go to the incinerators or whatever they're called. I don't know, because I'm not that kind of an engineer, right? But once the plant starts running, like, no one gets to go there. But when we were there, it was all shiny and new. And these guys explained to me all about how this thing worked. And it really ended up being a glorious summer dotted by some paperwork. But what's interesting to me looking back now is that the reason I went wasn't because of the job, and it wasn't because of the opportunity, and it wasn't because of the location or the project. I went because of who extended the invitation. See, the project manager on that project was my dad. And my dad said, "It'll be fun. It'll be a great experience. It'll be good for you." And that was all he said. It was all he needed to say for me to go, because I trust and love him. And he'd been an engineer for many more years than I could ever hope to be, and I trusted that too. And he was right. You know, that experience hooked me up with people in the company and with contractors, and I knew all sorts of things that other engineers could only dream of experiencing, and it was because I trusted my dad. Now, if my dad had said to me, "I want you to come as an intern, and what you're going to do is log butterfly valves all summer, and I'm going to hand you a stack of blueprints that's this high, and you're going to have to highlight every little symbol on there and get the numbers right," like, I would have run screaming in the other direction. What he said to me was, "It'll be great for you. Trust me." And it seems to me that our lives are a lot like that. If God were to come to us and say, "Here's everything that's going to happen in your life. Here are all your trials and your challenges, your hardships, your joys, your triumphs. Trust me." We would run screaming in the other direction, particularly because none of us sign up for the death of our loved ones, for example, or for work challenges that seem beyond us. We don't sign up for injury or heartache. We don't sign up for that mysterious, terrible, terrifying unknown. And thank God that Jesus says, "I have so many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Not yet." God is so gracious with us, because what happens in our lives is we take one step, and if we're lucky, the next step gets revealed. If we trust the one who calls us into the great adventure and experience of life, we find that the Spirit of Truth comes and guides us. We find that in our challenges, in those stacks of blueprints and all that tedium, that we're not alone in it, but partnered with a God who walks beside us and helps us take the next step through it. And when our hearts are broken, we are accompanied and held by the God of grace and comfort. That's how it is with us. We take one step, and then we're asked to take another in trust. God's always beckoning to us. "It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. It's going to all work out. This tragedy is not the end. There's more. not more tragedy, but more joy and more life. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, the Spirit will guide you into all the truth. And the truth is that no matter what our journey is, it is filled with the fruit of God's Spirit. It's filled with courage and love and joy, with peace and harmony and whimsy. As God accompanies us and says, "Do you trust me? It will all be worth it." We find ourselves showered with the strangest things. We find ourselves showered with good humor in the midst of tedium, with joy in the midst of our loss, with promise in the midst of our struggle. Jesus said, the Spirit will guide you into all the truth. And the truth is, our lives are for the living. They're for the risking. They're for the adventure. The living and the risking and the adventure of what? Well, primarily of relationship. Welcome to Holy Trinity Sunday. This is the Sunday that ordinarily preachers dread more than any other Sunday of the year, because we're called to talk about a mystery. We're called to talk about how it is that God can be three in one and one in three. And the reason we hate that call is because there's no way to do it. If you ask me, how is God three in one and one in three? My answer is, I have no idea. I really have no idea. And it's a beautiful thing, because we're called to live and risk this adventure of relationship the same way that God does. What we know of the Trinity is that there at the beginning, God spoke. God spoke into darkness and chaos and nothingness, and the scripture tells us God was there, God's Spirit hovered over the water, and then God spoke. The presence of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God. And once the world was created, the scripture says they conspired together and said, essentially, what should we do now? Everything looks really great. What's next? And in that huddle with one another, they said, let's make humankind in our image. Let's make them just like us. And the scripture says that with a word, humankind was created male and female in the image of God. In other words, we were created to conspire with one another, to live in relationship, to bounce ideas off of each other, to say to one another, it'll be really great, it'll be fun, trust me. Because I'm a little bit further down the road than you, and I love you. It'll be fine. We're called to be with one another in our sorrow, in our joy, in our possibilities, and in our challenges, in the mission that lies before us. And we're not alone, because that creative, relational God, that three in one, one in three, mysterious creator of us all is out ahead of us, is in the midst of us, is underneath us, and is calling to us. Not with the whole plan, because that would freak us out. The Spirit of God has much to say to us, but we can't bear it all. But we can bear what's next. What's our calling and our charge? To be still. To listen for God calling. To look for God at work around us. To look for what God is doing next. And to join that, whatever it is. And you already know how to do that. So how many of you are faced with more than one opportunity at a time? Right? And how many of you know when the opportunity is a bad one? Like no life in it, right? And how many of you know when the opportunity is a good one, even though you might be scared out of your wits? That's where God's at work. That's where God's at work. Calling you into what's next. Encouraging you that you can. That it would be good for you. That it will work out. That whatever step you take, it will be filled with God's Spirit because God will be with you. Now, I can't tell you, yes, there'll be joy in it. This step might require courage, and that might be what comes. I can't tell you that there will be generosity in it because maybe the gift of that moment is wisdom. But that's the glory of God, this mysterious three in one, one in three, calling to us to take a step. To do whatever's next with whoever is around us, and for us to be gracious with one another. I know this is a hard thing for human beings because when somebody beloved to you takes a step and you can kind of see where that's headed, we tend to not support that too much. But maybe we ought to. If the person next to us is sure God is calling, if it's filled with passion and excitement and wonder and whimsy and possibility, maybe it's our job to partner with that, to bring a note of encouragement, at least to say, I'll be here to pick up the pieces if you fall. Because as I said, Jesus said, I have many things to say to you. I have a whole plan to reveal to you, but you can't bear it now. But you can hear this next part. Won't you take a step for what might be possible for you, the people around you, and the life of the world? Now, I know sometimes we're not in the best place in our lives and what's going on. And we church people are really funny people because what we do when we're like that is that we take a shower and we put on our nicest clothes, and we come to church, and we look like everything's fine, right? But it's always the case that someone in the room is not in a great place. And if that happens to be you this morning, during the communion time, I'm going to be over there to pray with you about your next step, or about the place you're in, or about whatever you need. And there, we have lots of people who are really good at this, partnering with people and praying for them and encouraging them. And so this isn't a pastor-only deal. So if you would like to pray with people, you can come join me and tell me that you're here to pray with people and not to be prayed over, and we'll spread out. And so, you know, look over there, and if God is calling you, your next step over there, take a step over there. May God's grace and peace be with you. May you lean into your life with good cheer and with courage, knowing that it's God calling and God is out in front of you and that God's holy people surround you. Let us be here for one another, for the courageous journey of our lives, for the outrageous adventure of living. And above all, might we share with one another the Spirit of God, the gifts of God that have been poured out on us, so that we might encourage one another with the possibility that those gifts might be theirs too. It's in the name of our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three, mysterious and ever present, that we pray. Amen.